Yeah, are you a fan or a follower?
When I was looking at the passage, I thought, oh yeah, this was an easy one. Yeah, this is easy. And I thought, I came up with a really good title, and I thought, I know, it will be called Actions Speak Louder Than Words. I thought, fantastic. However, the more I read and thought about what James was meaning, I realised that it didn't quite fit the true meaning in our passage. And in our previous passage a fortnight ago, James encouraged us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And now we see the focus on the doing. And that's all the stuff that goes on in our heads, what comes out of our mouths, and what we do with our hands, and putting what Jesus taught us to do into action. And we've got we have our own church slogan, don't we? I don't know if you all know, but it's, do anyone know what our slogan is? Yeah, that's it. Yes, knowing Jesus, making Jesus known. You know, it's good that we can come and know Jesus, you know, and to get into his word, to know him more as a personal saviour, as a friend, but also to make others known about him as well, to make others know about who Jesus is. And James begins this passage, firstly, with a call to listen. And it ends up with a call to live out our daily, a pure and an undefiled, sort of clean life. And you see, the normal human behaviour is this perpetuation of a careless pattern of living. We don't listen, we talk too much, we get cross, we get offended too easy, and we make, little progress. Well, that's probably enough about me, but what about you? And even though it may be that we read the Bible, we sing the hymns, you know, we even turn up to home groups once in a while, and even listen to good old some biblical sound teaching, but somehow we never get it all connected in our daily life. And James wants us to see the vital connection between the living, between the listening and the living. And hearing God's word is no less important than the doing. In fact, it's an essential ingredient to our spiritual growth in order that, it corrects us, heals, it restores, and it builds our faith. And that's probably why I sort of titled it A Fan or a Follower rather than Actions Speak Louder Than Words. And if you're affected in any way by what is said today, then you certainly can't be accused of not listening. However, the doing bit is the hard part, and we'll come onto that in a minute. You know, like we said earlier, just discussing about that Jesus, Christ is our perfecter of our faith. You know, you can look that up in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. And this essential instruction from James is for those who are believers in Christ, those that have been called and those that have made a personal commitment to follow him. Well, in fact, it's actually a command. A command too, not just to listen to God's word, but to do what it says. And not if we feel like it or if it, kind of suits us, but it must be part of our day-to-day living. And what we say, and what we think, and what we do, James clearly tells us in good old plain Greek on how we must live our faith. And how do you live your faith this morning? How do you live your faith this morning? Is there enough evidence, to convict you if it became illegal? Well, you might say, well, if you broke down my front door and got into my house, you'll find a Bible on my bookshelf, but you'll have to knock the dust off first. You know, and you see, a Christian growing up in our society today will find it really hard going. And the language James used in his letter would certainly sound out of place in our thinking today. You know, in our, I know at work, you know, it's, you know, very difficult to use certain types of language. You know, in our politically correct and secular tolerant society, you know, we don't tend to hear the words of obedience, submission, command and discipline. You know, people never like to use those types of word. You'd need to probably enlist in the army to hear those nouns spoken on a daily basis. And it's just not part of our vocabulary, is it? And we know from first hand it's not everyone's cup of tea either, and even for believers. And yet, in Scripture, we find these words spoken often by Jesus and here in the book of James. And if you feel challenged, I mean, there's another good word, isn't there? Challenged, you know, today, then that's a good thing. It's a really good thing. Because I've got a feeling, you know, that God's got a ton of stuff here that he wants us to, you know, for us to learn, you know, as we go through the book of James. And so is it possible to have faith and to do nothing with it? Is it possible to be a driver and to have never driven a car, or a swimmer to not have gotten your feet wet? Maybe. But what does that show to others in our company? Well, probably not a lot. In fact, worthless, I would say. And that's not what we're called to be, are we? We're called to be salt and light. You know, I think we made reference to that, you know, earlier in our prayer, you know, we about being called to be salt and light, you know, it says, you are salt, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its savour, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they set it on a lampstand and it gives light to everyone in the house. You know, I love that last bit, you know, that gives light to everyone in the house. You know, I don't know if you remember that little song. You know, I love that song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine. You know, I love that little, that song. You know, for some here this morning, we may not feel like shining. We know in our hearts that we should do it, but the shining bit, well, that's just too much. You know, but the power that makes you shine, you know, it doesn't come from us, does it? It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from God. You know, he's the source of our strength. You know, and through that amazing power of the Holy Spirit, you know, we can live as people of the light. You know, especially in our places of work, you know, in our homes and in our schools. And I don't know if you've noticed, but we do live in an increasingly growing dark world in our society. So it should make it all the easier to stand out and shine. You know, for us corporately as a church or as individuals, you know, it's a chance to shine and to show others what our faith means. I mean, we mentioned about the High Barns event, didn't we? You know, we were all there, weren't we? You know, all having a good time with one another, you know, having fellowship with one another and just being there in our community. And it was just good to share with others that don't know about us. You know, Jesus said, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. You know, and in John chapter 13, verse 35, even when we don't feel like it, it's just also to show your love to those that don't deserve it. You know, so what do we know so far about James? Well, probably James, brother of Jesus, one of the select individuals that Jesus appeared to after the resurrection. He is a leader of the council in Jerusalem, and it's said that he was martyred around about sort of 62 AD. But, you know, repeating, you know, going back, you know, that James here is speaking to the young believers in Christ. And if you're a new believer here today, then the book of James is a really good, you know, a good book to start with. And as Keith said a few weeks ago, you know, they have the saving knowledge and now they need to know the application of it. The knowing and the doing go hand in hand, you know, a bit like a horse and carriage. But Jesus commanded everyone who follows him to obey his commands. You know, in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I heard a little old lady once asked, what do you do when you come across one of God's commands? And she says, I highlight them. Well, highlighting the Bible's commands in yellow might make for a colourful Bible, but the point of the commands is that we obey them. You know, unfortunately, you know, there are many people, and sadly in evangelical churches, you know, who have their heads filled with information about the Bible, but simply ignore or refuse to obey God's commands. And you might be thinking, well, that sounds a little bit harsh, Russell, but, you know, looking at surveys, you know, surveys do commonly show that there is substantially no difference between evangelical Christians and the population at large on most moral and social beliefs and behaviour. You know, there is a growing move that, you know, we're becoming lukewarm. A survey carried out on approximately 100 evangelical Christians who were asked, having sex outside of marriage is morally acceptable for an unmarried person. And the majority, 77%, disagreed with that statement, with 61% disagreeing strongly. Yet, 44% of unmarried evangelicals, ages between 18 and 29, have had sex, including 25% who've had sex in the last 3 months, according to a new report by the National Association of Evangelicals and Grey Matter. You know, clearly, behaviour does not always match beliefs. I mean, that's, you know, I'm not just singling out singles. You know, there are, you can apply that to many, many groups, you know, in the, you know, in the Christian world. You know, it's not just that. But look at verse 22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. You know, the book of James is generally considered the most practical book on Christian living in the New Testament. And this verse is often cited as the reason why. And that's because, you know, that's why we chose it, you know, as our verse of the year. So by merely just listening God's word, implies it's not enough to grow as a person God wants us to be. And yes, it's good to listen and hear God's word, but to not put what you've heard into practice will deceive yourself. You know, several weeks ago, we heard that wonderful testimony from Misha and Glenn about, you know, sharing the gospel message to Misha's mum. You know, she listened and she heard, but that wasn't enough for her salvation. You know, she needed to accept in her heart. You know, for some of us, it takes moments of when we're at our most vulnerable, when we look upon and turn to him. And we need to consider it pure joy when we face trials in our lives. You know, it's only when we're heated up, you know, do we see who we truly are.
You know, sometimes, you know, God has this amazing ability of squeezing us, you know, and I know from personal experiences that, you know, he does squeeze us. He squeezes us and he shows us what can come out of us, you know. And it's quite striking when you look at how we naturally behave to adversity. You know, we simply worry, don't we? I mean, I know I do. And we worry in the past. We get anxious, don't we? And sometimes we can get angry with our situation. You know, Lord, why me? Why again? You know? And sometimes we try and think of a quick way out, regardless of the damage it might cause. You know, that kind of self-preservation attitude. You know, we scramble for our inflatable life jackets. But for a born-again believer, we have that Holy Spirit, don't we? We have a guide, a comforter in times of trouble. And as we know so well, the Lord allows, you know, the troubling periods in our lives to refine us into the character and image of his Son Jesus, you know, to be moulded more and more like him. You know, for an unbeliever, it feels quite oppressive, unloving, controlling. And how do I know that? Well, you know, because I once thought like that. And the way we must react should be altogether different. And James here is helping us understand it. Not to put on a silly face, a silly happy face, but to recognise when we're being tested. You know, in our college, we have an engineering department that has a very expensive piece of equipment called a tensile testing machine. And the purpose of the machine is to test material samples under controlled tension until failure. The results from the test are commonly used to select materials for an application or for quality control, and to protect how material will react under types of forces. You know, and in a way, in a similar way, you know, God tests us under controlled tension. But unlike the tensile testing machine, he won't allow us to snap, because that's not his style. You see, God works in ways and we simply can't grasp. And no wonder at times we get angry and frustrated with him. But be encouraged this morning. You know, don't lose heart. I mean, look here in Hebrews 12. You know, and have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, "My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves. For the Lord, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child." You know, at times we shout out, don't we? We say, you know, I want to take control of my own life, you know. I want to take control of my own decisions. I don't need you just now. You know, but look at verse 25. You know, the doing part in our Christian lives is linked to blessings. You know, bizarrely, stepping where he wants you to step gives freedom and blessing. I mean, look at verse 23 here. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing in a mirror. And you see yourself, you walk away and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. You know, we need to remember, don't we? Back in John 1, you know, the word is a title for God, Jesus. I'm not just referring to the Bible. Our obedience in following him brings great reward and blessing. Being a fan for him is not what he wants. He had a multitude of fans that followed him, you know, because he fed them by bread and fish that day. But they failed to understand the purpose of the miracle, even after explaining it to them. We can, you know, can look back at John chapter 6 and verse 36. But he has a perfect will for you in your life.
You know, but our sin can hold us back, really just stop us dead in our tracks. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. He's already got our plans for us. And I find that just extraordinary that he already has plans for us in our lives. He knows them. You know, plans to give us a future, a hope. And I'm not sure what kind of amazing plans that you've got in your lives the coming days and years ahead, but I'm sure they won't be as rewarding as his. So how do you know if you're the real thing? John chapter 3, verse 21, but whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. The people in the light are the doers. They cannot hide. In Luke chapter 8 and verse 16. They do many things and can be described in many ways. And I don't know any better way to identify them collectively. But, James wants us to learn an important lesson here. And again, he is addressing believers and those who claim to be followers and not fans. And the one part of our body that can get us into deep water, and if you look at verse 26, is our tongue. The thing just likes to waggle. And if anyone is in any doubt what you believe, he or she just has to wait until you speak. And sometimes we don't know we're doing it. And a few weeks ago, myself and Ed, we had the pleasure of popping down to see Brian and his boat. And whilst we were chatting, Brian pointed out a small defect on the boat. He probably thinks it's not a small defect, but I thought it was. And even though the boat was floating and had a good engine, he just had it fixed, and had a pretty sound hull, but the steering wasn't working on it. The rudder mechanism wasn't functioning as it should. Unless, that is, you like going around in floating around in circles. But I just thought that's such a good analogy of just a small little metal rod on a boat, that could affect the whole operation of such a massive craft. And in James, later on in James chapter 3 and verse 4, he uses that kind of same analogy of the ship and a rudder. And James gives us a bit more detail in the area of controlling the tongue later in chapter 3. But for our passage today, we need to understand that what we say to others is important in our faith. Our faith means everything. And if you swear and cuss, then your faith is meaningless to the hearer. Last week Joe spoke on a verse from Samuel about how we judge others by how they appear. And we can also make that same judgment on people by what they say and do. And what we're not saying is that you should go and pop down to James Clothing or Peacocks and get yourself kitted out in a lovely nice suit or a dress. Not at all. And neither should we deliberately dress to offend, even though you might think pentagrams on a that look cool on a black t-shirt. But God sees our heart as clear as daylight, and what is in your heart will reflect outward. The religion God accepts is what? The outward actions. To look after those in need. And in this case, it was the orphans and widows in distress. It still is today. And alongside other people groups that are marginalised or forgotten. And last but not least, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. You know, not the natural world by hanging around near volcanoes, breathing in sulfur dioxide, or getting tangled up in plastic waste in the oceans. No, no, not that. It's the rebellious attitudes and actions of people to not become lukewarm. You know, this message this morning has been primarily on believers, those of us that are willing to follow the Lord and not just be listeners of God's word, but to put into action. You know, the two go hand in hand and makes our faith complete and not wanting anything. But for those that do a lot of listening and play church, the time has come to stop and choose your eternal future. By default, we're all lost through Adam, but it was Jesus that found us. By his grace, we're saved, and through Christ, there is a home prepared and waiting for those who truly believe. Are you a follower or simply a fan? Amen.